Welcome everybody to the Unscripted, Everything Unscripted podcast. Tonight is Hard Hit. My co-hosts are Doug and Sam.
Yep.
How are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Good. Tonight we'll be talking about week number two, which was very interesting. And then we're going to head to week number three. What a week two it was. Before we get started, plugs and rest in peace to Animal, aka Joe Laurinaitis, and is it Joe or John?
No,
Joe.
Unfortunately, John's still alive. God took a wrong brother.
Joe Laurinaitis, also a former. Is he a former NFL player? No.
No, his son, I think his son played. I don't think his son still plays, but I know his son was a longtime member of the Rams.
Okay, yeah. Rest in peace to him, and then rest in peace to Gaylord Sayers. Gaylord.
Who?
Whatever. Running back died. What's his name? Smith, do you know?
What's his name? Yeah, I know who you're talking about. They were talking about it this morning.
Gaylord Sayers died today at 77. So rest in peace to both of them. Doug, you want to do plugs before we get started?
Okay. First of all, even though this isn't the wrestling show, I feel like I should report this. Lance Archer has tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh shit!
So he's out of the six man tonight.
Wow.
So a little bit of breaking wrestling news here on the Hard Hits Pod. What am I doing?
Plugs.
The plugs.
Okay. There's really not much to plug because there's stuff going on right now with the Dirt Sheet Dudes, so I'm not going to plug them for right now. But that's not my business to get into, so I'm going to leave that alone. But listen to us every Friday night for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. We can be found on all the major podcast platforms. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. Obviously, you can listen to us here on Blog Talk Radio. This upcoming Friday night, we are going to review the PWI 500. And we are going to have special guests on with us. We are going to have Scott Casey, Rod Price, Sam Houston, they're all going to join us. We're going to basically try to go through as much of the PWI 500 as possible. The magazine was supposed to be on sale yesterday, on newsstands yesterday. I have not been able to find it yet, but luckily somebody printed out a copy of the list for me. And Eric, I have a copy for you too.
Okay, thank you.
So I will give you your copy tomorrow.
Okay.
That'll be on Friday. This upcoming Sunday on the Top Tier Podcast, we are going to be tier listing cartoons / animated series. We're basically going to go through history. Daniel's going to, have a list ready, I think. So we're going to do that. Also on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, Daniel is planning on debuting a new show called Controlled Chaos. It's going to be Daniel and a couple of his buddies. Eric and I will have nothing to do with it, so you know it's going to be a good show. So that'll be, and basically they're going to talk about, world issues that are bothering them. I think that's the premise. Also, round two of the Unscripted Jeopardy tournament should be starting, hopefully by the end, by sometime next week. I'm still working on the questions. Really haven't had time to do it lately because I've been busy with work. And so, but that should be coming soon, and I'll keep everybody updated on that.
Sorry.
Just so you know, that means I'm done with the plugs.
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Doug.
You're welcome.
Last Thursday, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns had a good game. Cleveland Browns beat the Bengals, their in-state rival, 35-30.
That game was a lot better than it should have been.
Yeah. It was high. I was surprised it was high scoring, too. Both quarterbacks played well. Baker actually played well. I'll give him credit, even though I don't like him. he did play well. I'll give him credit, even though it was against a sloppy defense. And Burrow did a good job for his second start. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and 316 yards passing. Most of them were in garbage time, but still, he had a great game, too.
Yeah, and Randy Bullock didn't have to fake a hamstring injury either.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wait, I thought he was injured, and then
What did he make, like three?
3 field goals. Yeah, 3 field goals and 3 extra points. He didn't miss any. That hamstring must have healed up quickly.
Oh, trust me, it would have flared up if he would have missed one.
So, what were your thoughts on this game, Doug? Or Aquinas?
I was just going to say, I think I just gave my thoughts.
Okay.
Look at it this way. I saw Cleveland. I mean, I think this game was more about what Baker can do. To anything else?
Yep.
Because that's what the more hype was. Everybody know Joe Burrow, rookie quarterback. Nobody gives the Bengals respect in the world, but yet they did kind of earn my respect the way how they played and kept the game close to most part, knowing that, yes, they are still rookies.
Yep, exactly. And the Bengals got the backdoor cover for
about Joe Burrow rookie. As this game was more about what Odell Beckham and to me Baker Mayfield have proved anything else out there. That was a key word right there because everybody's giving a lot of stuff. People was talking about a lot of rumors going around. Odell Beckham's going on a training block. He don't really want to be in Cleveland. I think it's a mistake for him to even wind up being in Cleveland. it was just a gimme trade away. So, yeah.
The running game for Cleveland was great, too. They combined for over 200 yards between Chubb and Hunt. They both got two. Chubb got two touchdowns, and Hunt got one. Odell got one touchdown for the Bengals. Boyd got one touchdown, and the tight end got one touchdown for the Bengals. Overall, it was an entertaining, good game on Thursday night, considering the two teams. Now. Your team, Doug, Buffalo and Miami. Bills won 31-28. This was kind of closer than I thought, but it was Josh Allen played really well. He had 4 touchdowns, over 417 yards passing.
But again, it was Miami. I mean, here's the thing. And as much as I hate Nate Burleson of Good Morning Football, he did make a good point this morning. Because, you know, they were talking about, you know, the Bills. The question was asked, you know, if the Bills are still the favorite to win the division. And Nate Burleson basically said, I mean, he was being a complete dick about it, which a lot of former players that are broadcasters now are pieces of shit, if you really think about it. You know, especially about like certain teams or whatever. So his point I really didn't like, which was basically, no, until they prove something, they haven't proved anything to me yet. They need to prove that they're better than the Patriots. And Peter Schrager, one of the nice guys on there, even though he wasn't bad-mouthing the Bills like, you know, Burleson the buttfucker, but he basically said that the Bills need to prove they're 2-0. They beat two teams that are bad. They beat the Jets and they beat the Dolphins. If they can beat, they have a huge four-game stretch coming up. The Rams and then hold on. I don't know the exact order, but I know they got the Rams, the Raiders, the Titans, and the Chiefs. Well, I'm looking it up now. Oh, here it is. Yeah, the Rams, the Raiders. I'm way too far back. The Rams, the Raiders, the Titans, and the Chiefs are the next four games in a row. And by the way, it's at the Raiders, at Tennessee, and then Kansas City at home. On a primetime game, by the way, is at Kansas City.
Thursday night.
Okay? So the Bills need to prove that they can beat good teams. They prove they can beat bad teams, but they said they still have a lot more to prove.
Okay. Can I comment on something you said, Doug, if you don't mind?
Go ahead.
Okay, so you say the Bills need to beat good teams. I want to put it this way. Before last year, I think the whole AFC East was kind of like, it's always weak besides the Patriots because of the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the whole nine yards.
Right.
So if you look at it, the Bills are really now starting to become a threat team, and they proved that last year, even after their choke job. But you're saying that they need to start beating bad teams. To me, the Bills are starting to become just a good team right now, a team that you can, like, are starting to be on a map as one of the elite teams and probably, to me, a front runner to win the AFC East this year.
Right, and I'm not saying they can't. I'm not saying they can't be. What I'm saying is that I do agree with people that say, all right, well, they need to prove themselves against a good – they proved themselves last year when they beat Dallas on Thanksgiving and when they beat Pittsburgh on that Sunday night. Yes, they took a step back when they choked, but guess what? You know, they're back now, and I believe they are going to prove how good of a team they are. But the only thing I'm saying is that anybody that's getting excited about the fact that we're 2-0, don't. Get excited when we hit 3-0 or when we hit 4-0. Get excited if we beat the Rams this week, which I think is possible.
I think it's possible, too.
Because here's the thing. The Rams weren't able to stay on the East Coast this week. They had to go back to California.
Oh, wow.
Okay? The Rams are going to be jet-lagged.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying the Bills can't get the job done. I believe they can. I have faith in my team.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like I was thinking more. It's that Week 6 matchup on Thursday Night Football. I think everybody should have circled on there. I think even Week 4 and Week 5, you should you should really, like, know what that team is about when he has to go to Tennessee and then host Kansas City Thursday night.
Right, and
yeah,
here's the thing. Right now, that four-game stretch that Buffalo has, all those teams are 2-0 right now. Now, that might change with the Raiders on Sunday if they can't beat the Patriots. Tennessee has to play Tennessee's got to play Minnesota. Minnesota's 0-2, so obviously Tennessee's got that one in the bag. Kansas City has to play Baltimore in Baltimore on Monday night.
Oh,
so we'll see what
game.
Happens there. So these teams are going to take a beating, and Buffalo needs to capitalize on it. But, yeah, Clintus, I do agree with you. Buffalo and I definitely have Buffalo and Kansas City circled on the calendar for Thursday night. If I get scheduled to work that Thursday night, I'm quitting.
Oh, man.
No, I mean, definitely that's going to be one I think a lot of people are going to be excited about, especially if the Bills can keep things up the way they are.
Yep. Now, any more thoughts on this game, that game tonight?
No.
Let's get to the dreadful of the Philadelphia Eagles and the LA Rams game. You want to start?
Yeah, I'll start with this. The Eagles, to me, are a team that do not know who they want to be. One minute they want to be like they're all pro offense and want to air the ball out. They did against Washington in the first half. They want to air the ball out, make those good catches, and then next minute they wanted to just drop every ball they throw. And this week they're going into like a ground and pound when they're running the ball with Miles Sanders until he just drops the ball and act like you don't want to run the ball no more. I don't know exactly what team and the defense, this so-called great defense that they're supposed to be elite, hadn't done nothing at all to impress me. Slay, no turnovers, no nothing. And I'm really starting to figure out that if you watch the NFL and not watching and having fans there, compared, it's a really, you could tell how players feed off fans. And not just with the Eagles games, with any game. You could tell how teams react when it comes to when good plays happen and how when you hear the cheers of the crowds of the people and you just want to, but there's just nothing there. And the fake noises they have on television doesn't really help you whatsoever because it's all fake. But this team needs to like know what they do. Go back to what they did before.
Exactly.
I'm not too worried though because this is like everybody's saying they want to see Jalen Hurts. This I don't really care about Jalen Hurts. We had no preseason. I'll worry about Jalen Hurts next year when we have football come back again for our real OTAs and all that other good stuff. That's when I worry about the young talent. And then even with the young talent, it's supposed to be good. I mean, these guys need to, like, really step it up. And they're not doing it. I will say this, though. Even though it's suspicious, Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz's first year, fifth year, and they're 0-2. We have to remember that McNabb and Eagles, McNabb and Andy Reid, their fifth year together, they started out 0-2 and finished 12-4. That gives me hope that they can turn it around. They finished 12-4 for home field throughout the playoffs. So that gives me hope.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the fact that the NFC East is. I'm sorry, Doug. Go ahead.
I was just going to say. Actually, you know what, Eric? Go ahead and finish your point first.
I was going to say, And the NFC East is week two, so that it plays sad. Go ahead, Doug.
All right. So I'm looking right now. You know, we talked earlier about Buffalo, this four-game stretch Buffalo has coming up, right? The Eagles'
right.
next four games are against Cincinnati at home, well, in Philadelphia. Then they go to San Francisco on a Sunday night. Then they go to Pittsburgh. And then week six, they host Baltimore. Cincinnati right now is 0-2, but they're a decent team.
Yep.
Okay? San Francisco right now has everybody on their team injured except for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, that's going to be – should be easy for them because, again, you know, San Francisco this week has to go back to the scene of the crime. All right? They have to go back to MetLife Stadium.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen there. But then the two games that worry me as far as the Eagles go are the one against Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Pittsburgh defense is really good right now.
Yeah, but I'm not too worried about Pittsburgh because for some strange reason, when the Eagles and Steelers go together, it's always some type of great game. I mean, I remember Carson Wentz's first game against Pittsburgh. Nobody gave the Eagles a chance in that game. Oh, that's something that when the Eagles blew them out 34-3.
Right. And but again, that was a long, it seems like it was such a long time ago. But again, going against Baltimore. So, I mean, they may not have as tough of a four game stretch as Buffalo does, but it's still pretty tough, especially the last two games. The last two games of this stretch. Because then you got to think, okay, then they got a couple of division games coming up. They have their bye week in week nine, and then you know they're coming up. They're going to be coming up on a three game. Another four-game stretch late in the season that's going to be fucking difficult when they have to go against Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, and then Arizona.
Yep, and then the Cowboys in Washington to finish season.
Right. So the schedule's not necessarily doing them favors, but we also know that the Eagles do like to turn it up at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's true.
But I also think this first 4 weeks is going to be, just for like all teams in general, it's going to be like a fill your team out type of way. Like teams that we should beat or play well against, we're not. It's because there's no chemistry there. And more so to say, whoever like toss in to get the pre. And I do agree about teams. Player saying, yes, it is preseason, 4 weeks. You don't need to play four games in a preseason. But I think you need to play three games. You don't need that fourth game, that fourth week of the preseason for what? All it is just for, it's a make or break to see who's going to be on your, or who's going to be your backups. I mean, you need one game. You have your starters play your whole half. Use that week too. The third week, you can just use as like a rest week to do that. But you don't need 4 weeks to evaluate players. But three, it's more like it.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think that's what it is going to be. You're not going to really see teams like the Eagles, Saints. I don't even say Minnesota, Tampa Bay. They're not going to come together until, like, October or such. I wouldn't be surprised the way teams are, how they're starting out, that whoever has, like, home field advantage is at, like, 11-5. Because they got out hot, and then they got ran into the right team at the right time and just got knocked off the high horse.
And, you know, you know, obviously we'll talk about, you know, more of the teams as we go along here. But you got to remember, a lot of the teams that are 2-0 right now, at least two of those teams are going to start falling off the wagon this upcoming week. Because not everybody that starts off 2-0 goes to the playoffs. There's always one or two mid-season collapses. I mean, look at Los Angeles. Look at the Rams. They started 2-0 last year. They didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
What if they introduced a new playoff format last year?
Yeah. Dallas collapsed last year after a 2-0 start.
Yep. Who else did that? Forget who else did, maybe. Didn't Indy start well, too?
I don't know if they started 2-0, but, you know, they had a pretty decent season for a while last year, and then they fell off the wagon.
Yep.
Yes, I mean, Carolina. Carolina started 0-2, and then Kyle Allen led them on the win streak, but then it all fell downhill after.
Yeah. Yeah, so just because we're 0-2 doesn't mean we can't make a run. Anything can happen in the NFL. So, moving on to, let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys and the Atlanta Falcons game. Big comeback from the Cowboys. And the collapse of the Falcons again, who blew a second-half lead again. Like they did in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Man, what is this? This team blowing lead. They can't hold anything.
You want to know what? If I ever call for a coach to lose their job after a second week in the season game, this has to be it. There's no excuse whatsoever for you to blow not a 20-0 lead, but then you have a 15-point lead with 5 minutes left in the game. It's bad. You had a 15-point lead with 5 minutes left in the game. You can't put the game away.
Yeah.
And, all right. Go ahead, Clintus. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So not only you can't put the game away, and then you want that one size kick when you have. Everybody expect look like they're gonna watch that kick just roll right past you, out of bounds. The kick was an awful kick. Number one and number two, you can go and touch the ball. They touch less than 10 yards. Let's go 10 yards. Why are you waiting for it to go 10 yards? All you had to do is have the ball and the game over. How hard is that to be? Like, oh man, I don't know what to say.
All right, so I'm on the Falcons schedule right now, right? Their schedule not for the next four games per se, because they do have a couple of easy ones coming up in week 5 and week 6 when they have to play Carolina and Minnesota, which, you know, they're struggling right now too. But the next two games, Sunday's game is against Chicago in Atlanta. And Chicago's actually playing pretty good right now. And then they have, in week 4, they have a Monday nighter against Green Bay.
That's
so
tough.
Yeah. In Green Bay, by the way.
Yep.
So it's not going to get easier for them. But, I mean, here's the thing about Dallas. No, Dallas probably should not have won that game. Atlanta choked.
Yeah.
But after the heartbreak that happened in week 1, you know, when they probably should have beat the Rams, but they didn't. I mean, it was a feel-good win for them, I guess. You know, they won their home opener, which they always win their home opener. All right, there's no fucking surprise there.
Yeah.
The only surprise is that this home opener wasn't against the Giants. Usually, they go and play the Giants every season, every year in a home opener, every season.
Right. Yeah, I've noticed that too. But it's just, again, Dallas, they were able to capitalize on mistakes. And I don't even think it was mistakes done by Atlanta's offense. I think Matt Ryan played a fantastic game. Okay.
He's having a good year.
He's having a really good year. But the problem is that his defense isn't helping him. I mean, he's doing everything he can. I mean, that first week he threw for 450 yards. And when you see a quarterback, all right, if you see a quarterback throw for 450 yards, obviously you think, oh, God, it was a cakewalk. Lost.
Exactly.
And it sucks, but it's Atlanta's defense. So I don't know if Dan Quinn is the one that needs to get fired. I do think, however, they need to tell that their defensive coordinator, whoever the fuck it is, to pull his head out of his ass.
Matt Ryan has one interception in two games. Over
what were you saying, Quinn?
900 yards.
I think when it comes to Atlanta, I just think they just need a new team scenery. And I think a brand new coaching staff is where it's at.
Right. I agree with you. Again, I'm not going to put all the blame on Dan Quinn. I do think that a lot of it has to do with their defensive coaching.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens against Chicago.
And that game's at home, right?
Yeah, they're going to be in Atlanta.
That should be a good game. Now, Green Bay Packers and Detroit Lions. Packers beat them 42-21. Detroit was winning this game for a little bit. They're winning 14-3 in the first quarter, and then Green Bay took over. So.
Aaron Rodgers has a lot to prove. Okay, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He's got a lot to prove, and I really think he's going to prove it. I'm on their schedule right now. The game in New Orleans is going to be tough, but then they have Atlanta at home, but then they have that week five bye, and it's never good to have a bye early in the season.
No, it's not.
Okay. But then week six, they're going to be at Tampa. We'll see what happens there. Brady's finally starting to click with the team, but Gronkowski's not. But then, week seven is at Houston. Then they play Minnesota at home. So their schedule, it's not a bad schedule. I mean, they have a couple of winnable games. The week four game, the week six game, and the week seven and eight. Or I'll even throw in week nine when they have to go to San Francisco. If San Francisco's still not healed up, they can win those games. They can trouble because Gardner Minshew is actually doing better than I thought.
Yeah, I think a lot of people.
Okay. They have the possibility of going either 8-0 or 9-0.
Yeah.
Detroit's just in trouble.
Yeah, they are. Cool. They don't have. Go ahead, Glenn. Sorry.
Well, and this is another game that also deserves a look because. It's really starting to bother me about how teams get up to these early leads and then wind up just choking the game away. Like they forget how to play. Detroit had 17-0 lead over Green Bay at once. Like, we all know Green Bay was going to win that, but the fact is that it seems like they just stopped playing. Like, they forget how, what got them that lead, and they continue to try to be fit with it. There's no need to do that.
I mean, okay. Clint, if I didn't mean to interrupt, but I have to say this. 2 weeks ago, I said Matt Patricia is in trouble. They blow a lead against Chicago. They blew a lead against Green Bay. They have to start finishing ball games, like you said. Because if they don't, Matt Patricia could be the first casualty this season.
Yeah, I could see that.
I'll say he's number two. Dan Quinn got to be number one.
And you and I could debate that all day. I mean, you know, I mean, we both, I think, have pretty strong cases for it. You have a very strong case for Dan Quinn. I have a very strong case for why Matt Patricia should probably end up getting fired. And we could debate that all day. But to be honest with you, I will agree here. I don't think either one of these head coaches returns to their respective teams next season.
Oh.
No, I don't.
I don't. But
okay.
Then again, let's go back
turning around.
Yeah. And let's also go back to what you were talking about, the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. And I do agree with you when you said that with that too. Aaron Rodgers, I think when he drafted very well this year, I think it was the biggest disrespectful thing you can ever do to a franchise quarterback. Which way? And I think Aaron Rodgers is using that disrespectful as fuel to prove that whole front office wrong. Like, they wasted a first-round pick to give me a weapon. You decided to draft my replacement. He's going to prove to them why he should have gotten a weapon instead of getting a replacement. Because Jordan Love is not – if the Packers go out and even win the ball this year, it's amazing. I'm sorry. They're going to prove that was like a waste of a draft pick right there.
Did everybody forget that they went 13-3 last year and went to the NFC Championship game? Even though they got blown out in that game, they still went. And they went 13-3 and they were the two.
Yeah.
I mean, am I the only one that remembers that?
I forgot. I actually forgot. I mean, I remember they went to the NFC Championship game, but after that they went 13-3.
I know they were 2-seed, but my point is that even with 13-3, you don't need – going back to that draft, there was no reason whatsoever they should have drafted Love. No reason whatsoever. There was no point. They shouldn't have never done it. It was the worst decision in the front office
ever. Well, that's
ever.
Why I agree with
and
you.
I
that's
think,
why I brought up the fact that they went 13-3 last year. Aaron Rodgers, you know, they were under the radar 13-3 team. I mean, I guess like nobody was really paying attention to it, but they still went 13-3, and yet in the draft you trade up to get a quarterback. How do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to feel?
Disrespectful.
And he's going to put the NFL on notice this year.
Notice.
Okay, so he's got a lot to prove. Green Bay is Aaron Rodgers is a very dangerous man right now.
Mm-hmm.
Putting up 40-plus points in the first two games. And they're going against
like
this team that was absolutely embarrassed by a bunch of boobs Monday night.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is going to shred, even though it's in New Orleans, right? Sunday night?
Yeah, it's in New Orleans.
It's going to be a great game.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers is going to shred that Saints defense.
Yeah, that could be a very high-scoring game.
Okay. He's going to shred that Saints defense. He is basically, he is going to run through everybody. I mean, I know I picked Minnesota to, you know, make the playoffs, and they were going to go 14-2 or whatever the hell I said. Minnesota hasn't proven anything to me. Aaron Rodgers has proven to me that, hey, I'm disrespected. I'm going to beat somebody's ass. And my team is going to be a threat this year.
Yep. You proved me wrong. I thought Green Bay wasn't going to be good this year.
But, no, they are right now, even though it should not be a surprise, the fact that they're doing as good as they're doing, they are still one of the best teams in football. Even I don't like Aaron Rodgers. I think these State Farm commercials have made him look like a jackass.
Okay. And let's also look at how the four Packers put up these 40+ points. The first week was all the Aaron Rodgers show. The second week, it was the Aaron Jones show.
Yeah.
If you notice that. What's this week going to be? How are you going to do it this week?
Davante Adams.
Davante Adams, I think the Packers defense shows up. I think the Packers defense
is going to shred.
Huh?
I think Adams is hurt.
Well, what's the name of the what's the one guy's name that a lot of people love saying his name, or at least a lot of the female sportscasters love saying his name?
Montez Scantling, Vontaze Scantling,
or Vontaze or Vontaze or whatever
Montel.
The hell, or Mercedes Valdez Scantling, I believe.
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
Yeah, he's pretty good too.
I think everybody forgot how good he was.
Yeah. Green Bay's legit. That's for sure. Any more thoughts on this game, Mike?
Not really. No. I mean, I think we've hit all the points that needed to be hit.
Yep. Now, probably one of the most disappointing games of the weekend, I think, the Minnesota Vikings and Indianapolis Colts. Even though I thought the Colts would win, I thought it would be a closer game. Minnesota didn't show up, or they're just bad. Came home and basically dominated that game. Won 28-11.
28-11.
So I want to say this about the Minnesota. Kirk Cousins is playing like a quarterback who deserved to be franchised those 3 years by Washington for a reason. Kirk Cousins is playing exactly why Kirk Cousins never gotten a real quarterback, because he cannot play under pressure. He got his money. He's happy with it, but that's all he wanted.
Okay, Clintus, I'm actually going to piggyback off your point here real quick. New Orleans last year in the playoffs in a game that could have gone either way, right?
Right.
And yep. It was the upset of the playoffs. What happened after? The owner of the team gave extensions to Mike Zimmer, Kirk Cousins, and many others. He rewarded them for that one good game. They played like shit ever since. This is why you cannot reward somebody for doing one good thing.
I agree with that.
Okay?
And here, I'll say this. I think letting go of Stephon Diggs is a big deal, too. I think they're missing
that
big.
Yeah, but guess what? Buffalo's reaping the rewards, so don't. I'm not going to knock Minnesota too much.
I just wanted to say that they're missing that deep threat of Diggs.
Well, Adam Thielen was, I think Diggs took the pressure off Thielen. Let's put it that way. That was a good 1-2 combination
that too.
Right there.
You're relying on a rookie right now to be that other threat.
But, I mean, you gotta realize here that Minnesota right now, they're not playing like – they're playing like a team that they have their money, so they don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is sad, okay, because a lot of people had such high hopes for Minnesota.
Yeah, you and me both. I was very high on Minnesota because of their wide receiver
right.
and their defense. But their defense hasn't played anything. Like their defense is capable of playing.
Because the Colts right now, they got a statement win. Big win. And if you look at the Colts schedule, let's go for the next four games here because that's kind of the trend I'm on. All right, they play the Jets at home, then they go to Chicago, then they go to Cleveland, and then they play Cincinnati at home. The toughest game out of that four-game stretch is going to be Chicago, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I think Phillip Rivers is actually turning his Colts team around, though.
Right. I mean, well, I thought they were going to turn the Colts team around, too, and he still has a lot more to prove, though. Week three, I'm already counting as a win for them because the Jets couldn't even win a wet T-shirt contest. Okay? But I think the only contest that Adam Gase could win is a cocaine sniffing contest with those wild eyes.
He does have scary eyes.
So the Colts, I'm not worried about them going against the Jets. I think that would be a surefire bet for anybody.
Yeah, the Jets are the worst team in the NFL right now.
But then they have Chicago, and then they have the game. I mean, the Cleveland game in a few weeks is going to be tough, too. But, I mean, the Colts have a pretty decent four-game stretch. Then they have a bye, and then they have to go to Detroit, which really, again, we talked about Detroit earlier and how bad they've been playing. And the fact that they can't keep a lead. To me, Indianapolis' biggest test is going to come week 9 when they play Baltimore.
Yeah, that's going to be a good game.
Okay. So, to me, out of, the Vikings have a lot more to prove. The Colts right now, their schedule is easy enough that they'll be fine. The Vikings are the ones that have the problem.
Yeah. Their defense needs to step up.
Right.
Who do they play this week? They play.
The Vikings are playing Tennessee.
Tough game. Speaking of those Jets, they got slaughtered by the San Francisco injury Jet 49ers. San Francisco had all these injuries and they still managed to beat the Jets by more than 2 touchdowns.
Right, which
that's
was
how
good
bad
for
the
me.
Jets are.
Exactly.
I'm gonna say
this real quick about this game, and then I'm gonna step away for a couple minutes. Because I got something I got to do downstairs, and if I step away, it'll kind of help with the, speed up the show a little bit. But the Jets are just a horrible team. So Kyle Shanahan could have been out there by himself with GM John Lynch, and they still could have beat the Jets.
Yeah. That's how bad the Jets are.
Yeah. So, all right, I'll be right back.
Okay. You have any thoughts on this, Chris?
Well, I'm going to say what Doug said. The Jets are a horrible team. And yes, that you will figure it'll be a closer game without George Kittle going that not playing, and then you losing Coleman, and then Jimmy goes down, and it's just like, and you're still able to put up that and Raheem Mostert, Hart stepped up big with the rushing yards and the amount of points. It's just like. And then on the defensive side, you have no Richard Sherman, no nobody. And it's just like they run a JV squad, a JV varsity team, went and beat up a varsity team in the NFL. I wouldn't be surprised if a high school team could beat the Jets right now.
Jets could go on with this team, to be honest. Anyway, moving on to the Steelers in Denver. The Steelers beat Denver 26-21. There was some injuries in this one too. Drew Lock got injured. He injured his shoulder. Jeff Driscoll led the comeback, a small comeback, but they couldn't get complete comeback. But Drew Lock got injured early in the game. He injured his shoulder. Denver's wide receiver Sutton, he's out for the season with ACL, which sucks. So Judy's going to be the main man there. And Pittsburgh played Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh was pretty good.
Here's what I'll say. I'm not surprised Pittsburgh. I expect Pittsburgh to be good, especially with the reemergence of Big Ben. That's one thing I have to say. I think that's one thing Pittsburgh needed last year, which they didn't have, was a quarterback that could, a consistent quarterback who can lead this team the right way. That's what caused Pittsburgh a shot out of the playoffs, because he didn't have a quarterback that can lead. A constant quarterback that can lead them to the tough times.
Exactly. And Big Ben's been there, done that. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, whether you like him, whether people like him or not. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Future Hall of Fame quarterback. Any more thoughts, Clint?
No.
Moving on to Tampa Bay and Carolina. Tampa Bay won 31-17. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, their home debut with a new team. Tom Brady played pretty well. He had one touchdown, one interception. Fournette had 103 yards and two touchdowns. Man, Eagles should have signed him. That's another story for another day. And Mike Evans had a great day. 104 yards, 7 catches, and 1 touchdown. What were your thoughts,
Alright, here's my thought about the whole Tom Brady and Tampa Bay. Everybody's made Tampa Bay and such as like the Super Bowl favorite team of and it's not really going to be the truth. I think when you have someone as old as Tom Brady is, and to think that he's going to be like the Tom Brady of all, growing more. You can see it right now. I think between Tom Brady and Drew Brees, those two are like up there in age to the point that it's time for them to retire. I mean, they're Hall of Famers. Don't get me wrong. They're Hall of Famers. They will be. First ballot all the way, especially Tom Brady. But it's just time for them to go. And you can just tell that he's just, I'm not even sure. He's just probably doing more for the fame than anything else.
Yeah.
But the interceptions, this is not like Tom Brady-ish football. This is not
Brady
everybody grew up to watching him make, throwing inter pick sixes and all and making these mistakes. It kind of makes you wonder that what's really the mastermind behind this whole Tom Brady guru was Bill Belichick. After watching how Tom Brady is performing with the Buccaneers, having more weapons than he had in Tampa Bay than he had last year in New England, you will figure it'll be the other way around. Like Tom Brady, you expecting Tom Brady to light, actually light up the scoreboard with Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette, Sean McCoy. He have everybody around him, but he's just looking like trash. And it's really sad.
Exactly. And Christian McCaffrey got injured in this game too, and he's out for several weeks. So that was another major injury this week.
Right now. Four weeks.
Yeah. Moving on to Tennessee and Jacksonville, another big game. Tennessee beat Jacksonville 33-30. Real quick. We'll speed this along. Tannehill had 4 touchdowns, 239, which Derrick Henry still hasn't found end zone this year. If I remember correctly, right? Yeah, I'm not fantasy.
He hasn't found end zone yet.
But he had 25 carries for 84 yards. And the tight end had 84 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Jacksonville, Minshew Mania, alive and well. 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. James Robinson, the rookie. Yeah. From Illinois State. He had 102 yards and 1 touchdown. He's been impressive. Other than that, this was a good game. Jacksonville
came back,
almost won the game. Yeah, we're on Jacksonville game.
I got to see the end of that game, and I was very impressed with what I saw.
Yeah, Minshew is really good. He's better than I thought.
Yeah, they're going to be Jacksonville again. We'll see what happens tomorrow night. I'm almost tempted to put money on Jacksonville to beat Miami. But we'll see what happens. But, yeah, Tennessee's playing really good right now, too.
Yeah, that division's really well besides Houston. We'll speed this a little bit. Chicago and New York. Chicago beat New York 17-13. New York almost came back after they lost Barkley to ACL injury. He's out for the season. Unfortunately, one of the best running backs, if not the best running back, is out. That's unfortunate. Sucks for the game, even if you're not a Giants fan. Real quick, any thoughts, guys?
The Giants had an opportunity to come back and win, and what I don't agree with was the fact that they only took one shot towards the end zone.
Oh, wow. And then that sucked.
When I think about that game, I think of almost we almost had a third choke job of the week because once I think Barkley went down, I think that's when the Bears really should have, like, this defense should have took over and ran wild all over Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Because to me, because it was 17-0, and for them to nearly blow that game, I think I would have been highly upset. It's not even.
We'll talk about these two games real quick. These two were pretty much blowouts. Arizona Cardinals beat the Washington football team 30-15. Nothing really to say about that. Sorry. Yeah, Arizona played well. Kyle Murray still continues to play on a high level. Kendrick Drake. Arizona's for real, guys.
Yeah, and they have a real easy game coming up. They have a real easy game coming up on Sunday, which I'm actually looking forward to.
Who do they play?
Detroit.
Oh, yeah, Detroit. Okay. I should
Detroit
be.
And Arizona
yeah,
always
I,
play well against each other.
Yeah. I think this is a game that Plaintiff predicted a tie, right? Or something?
Yeah, because they tied last year in week one.
That's right, they did. We're not going to see a tie this year.
You'd never be surprised. Huh? Never say never.
Here's the funny thing. To kind of speed this up a little bit. I'm looking forward to this week's I'm looking forward to the week three slate of games because in the 4 o'clock window, which I'll be mostly home for, besides the ones that, you know, besides when we have to mute the TV because we have to do the cartoon tier list, there's five games in the 4 o'clock window.
Wow.
To keep up with that stuff on NFL Red Zone.
Five games. Which one's on TV?
Seattle and Dallas.
Oh, that's going to be a good game. Let's finish this off. Baltimore, Houston. Baltimore dominated this game. 33-16.
Oh, Houston's not playing good right now.
Yeah. I feel sorry for Sean Watson. He doesn't have any. Weapons around him. It's a one-man show there, pretty much on offense. Unfortunately, Baltimore playing like dominant football right now. We'll see when their schedule gets harder, especially against Kansas City. That's their first test of the year. Well, for both teams, Kansas City and Baltimore. Any thoughts, guys, on that guy besides Baltimore dominating?
I want money.
Oh, but of course.
And what, you're telling me that you would not have put money on that? Or on Baltimore to win that thing?
Well, I was a gimme game right there, man. I mean, let's put it this way, y'all. We all knew the Texans were not going to be – Texans are who they thought they were once they got rid of Hawkins. We're going to see – we're seeing the real Houston Texans right there. They lose their superstar player and a bunch of nobodies. J.J. Watt can't do it by himself with that defense. And it's just that.
Exactly. I think the game of the week, one of the games of the weekend, Kansas City and the Chargers. The Chargers had a lead throughout the first half and most of the second half, and then Kansas City came storming back and won in overtime 23-20.
Kansas City is the only team that can prove that you can be down three quarters of a game and still come back and win the fucking thing.
Yep.
No, I want to like enhance that because we want to say no lead you have against Kansas City is C. And we're going to go all the way back to the 24-0 lead in the playoffs last year. The playoffs, the comeback kids. No matter how big you have the Chargers down, you keep your foot on their throats until it's all 60 minutes are done. Because if not, you're going to lose. That's it.
Right, exactly. I don't care how big of a lead Baltimore gets on them Monday night. 100-0 before you start to get cocky.
Yeah.
Because when you have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, I'm telling you, one play and it's done.
What about this Hilaire?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Edwards-Helaire, I mean, he was the star of that week one game.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, in week one, he was the only running back that rushed for over 100 yards.
Oh, wow. But, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But here's also about this the Chargers. I was very, very impressed with that rookie quarterback. The fact that he had a 17-9 lead. Now, I was kind of rooting for the Chargers to win this game just because of the rookie. He impressed me big time. That one mistake, though, cost him a game, which proves him why he's a rookie. But to take the Super Bowl champions to overtime the way he did and still had a chance to win that game, you can't blame it all on him.
And he didn't find out he was starting until, like, 15 minutes before the game, I think.
Yeah, and then he's probably
that's the most impressive part.
I think Tyrod Taylor lost his job. I'm sorry. Tyrod Taylor lost his job.
Yeah,
they could say that Anthony Lynn can say that he's their starter all he wants, but there's no way that they're going to go back to Tyrod after what Justin Herbert accomplished. Especially if they can win again this week. Or not win again, but if they can get a win this week.
I'd say the Panthers at home. Now, let's get to the game of the weekend. This was a great game. Russell Wilson put on a show. And I just want to say, prayers and thoughts are to James White and his family for what happened to his family.
Yeah. I mean, definitely.
Yeah, that's hard. A lot of emotions in this game. New England came out better than I thought they would. I mean, they were playing for James White, so that's understandable. And yeah, this was just a great game from beginning to end. When Russell Wilson threw that pick six at the beginning, I knew New England was going to be staying in this game. Then Cam Newton put on the show and Russell Wilson put on the show. These two teams always put on the show when they play each other for some reason. Every game.
Yeah. To tell you the truth, that game actually won me my fantasy games this week because of Russell Wilson. There's one thing.
Yeah, I won money on this game,
Russell
too.
Wilson. Yeah. One thing is, I think between Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, I think they had to be the top two quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I mean, the pick six. It was like a rubber salt, just get loose. But five touchdowns of five different receivers, you can't beat that.
Nope.
I thought it was a great game, and New England almost had him too. I mean, the fact that they were able to stop Cam at the 1 yard line. I mean, I was impressed.
Yeah, I almost had a heart attack.
I'm just glad I didn't.
I had Seattle on minus 4.5. So, yeah. So that was a good night. Now the upset of the weekend. Really, the only upset of the weekend. With the Raiders beating New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football, which I had a feeling the Raiders would win. I think you predicted the Raiders to win too, right, Doug, last week?
Yeah, because they were opening up their home stadium.
Yep. And this was a good game. Drew Brees, unfortunately, looked like an old guy. He didn't look the same. unfortunately. And to piggy off what you said earlier, if you said Tom Brady, same thing can be said about Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Even though he had 300 yards.
Well, here's something that I think Drew Brees had, I think it was with chemistry, but one thing or another is you saw the absence of Michael Thomas not being on that field and how it affected that Saints defense. I mean, the offense.
Yeah. He's their best player. And they're going to miss him dearly against Green Bay, which possibly could be a shootout. So we're going to see. Now we can move on. You have any more thoughts on those? The week, guys? In week two?
Not really.
Before we move on to our week three? Start this off. Miami faces Jacksonville. Battle Florida on Thursday Night Football. Jacksonville is a 3-point favorite. Over-under is 48. This should be a good game. Minshew Mania versus Fitzpatrick Mania. Whatever you
Fitz magic. It's either Fitz magic or Fitz tragic, depending on how he plays.
That's true. I take the over in this. I think this is going to be a shootout. I think both teams are going to score points, and I'll take Jacksonville minus the three.
I think Jacksonville's going to beat the shit out of them.
Okay.
Here's what I have noticed about Thursday Night Football since it moved to Fox. This is that not only has it been high, all those games have been high scoring, but they also been close. For some strange reason, Fox rejuvenated Thursday Night Football, and these teams now come to play. Even though teams are still against playing on Thursday night, we have. Ever since they moved to Fox, have gotten a lot of good Thursday night games, and I think this might still be still a show. So I'll
love the over in
this with Jacksonville in this one.
So we all have Jacksonville. The Rams in Buffalo. The Rams are a 2-point underdog, 2.5-point underdog. Over under is 47. I think what Doug said earlier was Rams coming cross country and back in a week, about what 10 days, they travel back and forth. I think Buffalo is gonna win this game, and I like the over in this game.
Buffalo has a lot to prove here. They can beat a 2-0 team again, a 2-0 team that's gonna be severely tired from travel. I like Buffalo in this game, but I do think that the Rams are going to keep it close.
Yeah.
And I also think Jalen Ramsey is going to fake getting hit again so he can get a pass interference.
Parts of me wants to see the Rams. The other parts wants to see Buffalo. But I want to probably head to Buffalo because they're more like a complete team to me. But if the Rams can actually run the ball, because I think that's what one thing is, the Rams need to run the ball. And I think that's one thing the Rams have with Todd Gurley, which they don't have anymore. And Cam Akers being hurt. I don't think so. I'm probably going to lead to Baltimore, Buffalo in this one.
We all have Buffalo. The Cincinnati Bengals travel to Philadelphia. Philadelphia Eagles are 5.5-point under favorite and over under 46.5. This is a tough one. My heart says the Eagles, of course. I wouldn't be surprised if we actually lost to the Bengals. That's how Philadelphia fans are feeling right now. They're feeling that we could actually lose to the Bengals. But I think the Eagles get it together this week, put pressure on that rookie on Burrows, and they win a close one, spread, and win in the over.
I mean, I'm gonna go with the Eagles here, but I would not be surprised if the Bengals won.
Yeah.
My point exactly. I mean, the Eagles haven't really beat Cincinnati in a while. I mean, last time we played Cincinnati, the worst thing we got out of Cincinnati. I'm not even sure remember the last time. Oh, we beat nasty the Bengals, and that's really, really sad. The one game I do remember is that 13-13 tie of the Bengals we did. That's the closest thing to a victory we ever had.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
I remember that game. 13-13, wow. The Bears and Falcons. Falcons are -3 and over under 47. I assume that the Falcons here, I think they bounced back after that heartbreaking loss. And they, I like the under in this game. I like the Falcons in this game. I think they bounced back.
I think Chicago's going to be 3-0. I'm picking Chicago here. Is there anything that land
definitely to go? Yeah, I'm more about to go to Chicago with this one.
Okay. The Washington football team and Cleveland Browns. The Browns are a touchdown favorite. The over under is 45. I like the Browns to win a close game, and I like the over in this game. I think it's going to be closer than people think. Because I don't think the Browns are as good as they showed them against the Bengals.
I don't know what to say, but I want to go with the football team to win this one. That's all I'm going to say. Football team.
We lose, Doug?
Hello?
Doug?
I think you lost.
Okay. Tennessee and Minnesota. Minnesota's 2.5 point underdog. No, Tennessee is 2.5 point favorite. The over-under is 49. I actually like Minnesota in this game. I think they're desperate. They need a win. I like them in a close game, and I like the over. Okay?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Tennessee to win in a blowout fashion. I think Derrick Henry's going to show why he's brought one of the feature backs in the NFL and run all over this team.
Vegas and New England. New England's a 6-point favorite. Vegas is coming off that emotional Monday night victory over the Saints. Play New England to beat them, and I think this is going to be a blowout, to be honest. I think they're on a short week. I mean, New England's coming cross country on kind of a short week, too, and they played Sunday night, so. But I like New England here in the over.
Yeah. I like New England to win this one. I say easily.
And then San Francisco and New York. San Francisco is a +4. No, San Francisco is a 4-point favorite, and the over-under is 41.5. I like the over, and I like San Francisco to win, even though they have injuries. I think they're a better football team. And they still are a good team dealing with the injuries.
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't know who to pick in this one. I don't even know who to pick.
Houston and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is at -4. I like Pittsburgh in this one. The over is 45. I like the over. I think Pittsburgh's going to beat them in blowout fashion, to be honest.
Yeah, I want to go with Pittsburgh to win this.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that. With that defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the way Deshaun Watson is playing, I don't think this is going to last too much long.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You got the Jackson Colts. Nothing much to say about this other than the Colts are going to pound them like they did Minnesota. They're an 11-point favorite, over under 44. To be honest, I think the Colts can get 44 on their own. So, I see this going over. I'm assuming you like the Colts, too.
I want to pick this. Yeah, I like the Colts in the blowout.
Yeah. It's going to be the blowout of the week. Chargers in Carolina. Carolina is a 6-point underdog, 6.5-point underdog. Over under 43.5. I like the Chargers in this one. I like the rookie. Rookie's legit, I think, even though it's that one game. I think the Chargers win this one, a close game, but they cover and over goes over.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go. No, I'll probably think I will go with Chargers to win this. Especially Justin Herbert, I think the rookie's going to get his first win. So, yeah, I'm not.
And then Detroit and Arizona, a game that was tied last year. Arizona, the 5.5-point underdog favorite, the over under 55. Arizona's 2-0, tying 0-2. I like Arizona in the blowout, and I like the under.
Yeah, I'll take the under with Arizona.
Yeah.
And then again, Colin Murray is playing like a QB with a broom to join his new toy to in Hopkins.
Yep. Yeah. I think he could be a top candidate for MVP this year, but we'll see. Denver and Tampa Bay. Tom Brady going to Mile High. No Peyton Manning. Years before, Denver's a 5-point underdog, and over-under is 43.5. No Drew Locke, and they're going with their backup, Jeff Christian. I like Tampa Bay, and I think Denver is pretty much done. They don't have their Drew Locke. They have too many injuries.
Don't forget that also Denver is signing playoff signing Blake Bortles to be a backup.
Oh yeah.
So we're not sure there, but yeah, I think Tampa Bay wins this easily enough.
Yeah. If Tampa Bay can't beat Denver, then there's something wrong. And then Dallas and Seattle. This is always a good game, especially in Seattle. Seattle is a 5-point favorite. Both teams coming off a great game. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think Russell Wilson can outshine Zach Prescott on Fox, on national TV. And I think Seattle wins by 2 touchdowns. I'm going to say
Seattle's
going to win by 2 touchdowns.
Prove. I think Seattle is going to prove to you, everybody, why that Prescott, Jerry Jones, did not pay that Prescott his money this week, this coming week. Yeah. Russell Wilson is going to coddle those Cowboys like he always does.
And now Green Bay, New Orleans. New Orleans is a 3-point favorite. I like Green Bay in this one. I think this is going to be a shootout. I think New Orleans isn't as good as people saying. They're not good without Mike Thomas.
Yeah. I want to go with Green Bay and win this one, too. But I think it's going to be, this week, it's going to be a battle of the running backs. I think it's going to be Alvin Kamara. It's not going to be, the pressure's going to be off Drew Brees. And I think it's going to be more focused on Kamara versus Jones. That's
yeah,
what
I agree with that.
They both have a strong running backs.
And then we finish off the week with Kansas City and Baltimore, possibly the preview of the AFC Championship game. Game of the year, probably. Kansas City versus Baltimore. Jackson versus Mahomes. Last two MVPs. I take Baltimore in this, but I think it's going to be a real close game. And I just think Baltimore's better.
I'm go with Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to go with Kansas City.
And I like the over in this second. It's going to be a great game. Probably one of the best Monday night football games we'll see.
Yeah.
Thank you, Clannis, for being on. And thank you, Doug. We had technical difficulties with Doug. But we'll see him next week on Friday. This is for the hard hit. This is Clannis, and this is Eric and Doug. Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.